In the name of God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is great to be back here at Apostles and to see all that the Lord is doing in this place. Ken and Jack, I want to thank you and your leadership team for all that you all are doing. It's very encouraging. I mean, to hear about the building renovations that you're getting ready to do. I remember when this was a lot different than it is now, and what you're planning to do, it sounds great. I want to also say thank you to Ken and Jack for his willingness to serve as one of our canon pastors in the diocese. Thank you to Ken and John for serving as the canon theologian for the diocese, and of course, Rachel for helping with United Adoration. I mean, I could go on and on about the partnership that we share in the gospel, but thank you all. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word this morning, come in the power of your Spirit, come be our teacher. Help us hear from you this day what you want us to hear. And then may we apply it in our lives in the power of your Spirit. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning from the Gospel of John chapter 14 is filled with an incredible portion of scripture that has amazing words and some incredible promises from the Lord. So I want to invite you to open with me to John chapter 14. I know you've got pew Bibles there. I want to encourage you to open John chapter 14 and let's see how these words from Jesus might speak to us in our daily lives. Now the context of this passage it's the night before Jesus is crucified. The night before he was crucified. Jesus and his disciples are by themselves. He's washed their feet. They celebrated the Passover together. Jesus has instituted the Lord's Supper. And Jesus is now doing some final teaching. And actually, John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all are from that time. And it's just filled with some wonderful words from Jesus. The first thing we see here is that Jesus is going to the Father. Let's look at verses 1 through 4. Let not your hearts be troubled, he said. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I should say, if there's not another verse that you pay attention to today, verse 1 is one I hope you will glue to your eyelids. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Of course, he's speaking to his disciples in their confusion about what's going on at the moment and what Jesus has been saying is going to happen. But this also speaks to us. Let not your hearts be troubled. This means you can let your heart be troubled if you want to. And after all, we have a lot to be troubled about. But Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Whatever we are facing, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Jesus. In the next verse, verse 2, Jesus says he's going to the Father. And actually, in these 14 verses, Jesus mentions the Father 12 times. He's going to the Father, he says, to his Father's house, and it has many rooms. He's going to prepare a place. So what is the Father's house? Well, that's another name for heaven, the place where God is. In the New Testament, actually, heaven is described in many ways. It's described as a kingdom. 2 Peter 1:11, and often Jesus referred to the kingdom of heaven. It's referred to as an inheritance, 1 Peter 1:4. Hebrews 11:16 refers to it as a country, and then turns around and refers to it as a city. And then here in John 14, we see it is referred to as a home. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John describes it as a place with no more death, no more mourning, crying, pain, night, thirst. That's in Revelation 21 and 22. Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, according to Jesus, heaven is a real place. It's not a product of religious imagination or the result of a psyched up mentality looking for a pie in the sky by and by. Heaven is the place where God dwells And Jesus sits today at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus says here, I'm going there to prepare a place. That's in verse 2. And then he says in verse 3, I'm coming back to take you there. I don't know if you've noticed this with some of these near life or after life after death experiences that people have, and you know, they die and they're brought back. How many people have said that they met Jesus or that Jesus was there? He says he's going to come back and take us to that place. Jesus told his disciples over and over again that he was leaving, but they just couldn't grasp it. Again and again, he says, actually in this passage, but in other places, he says, my appointed time is near, in Matthew 26, 18. In John 13, verse 1, he says, it was just before the Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. John 13, 33, he says to his disciples, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. He says this again and again to them, and they just couldn't grasp it. He's going away. One little side note here. A dear friend of mine, he's a layperson. His name is Paul. And he uses this passage in visiting people who he cares about who are dying. And he said this is what he does. He shared this example. He was visiting a man who was soon to be with the Lord, and he did this. David, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. If it were not so, I would not have told you that I've gone to prepare a place for you. And David, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I will take you to myself. Where I am, you may be also. Powerful words. Powerful words. Well, Jesus is going to the Father, but then we see in this passage that Thomas wants to know the way. Verses 4 through 6. So Thomas said to him, Lord, let me back up. And Jesus said, and you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How could we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When I was at school, I took a class by a man who didn't hold to the authority of the Bible. He claimed to be a religious man, but he said, there are many ways to God. We Christians have our way, and other religions have their way. It's all the same God. I mean, this is the typical line we hear now in our secular culture, right? All ways lead to God. But Jesus makes an audacious claim contradicting these views. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One desires to come to the Father, she or he must go through Jesus. And Jesus doesn't just show the way or teach about the way, he is the way. He doesn't just tell them how to find the way, he is the way. The way to what? The way to the Father, the way to heaven, the way to the truth, the way to real life. Jesus himself is the way. And then we see in this passage, doubting Philip. He fails to see the Father, verses 7 through 11. Thomas always gets the bad rap of being called doubting Thomas, but I like to pick on Philip here, doubting Philip. Verse 7. Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Knowing Jesus equals knowing the Father, he says in verse 7. Seeing Jesus equals seeing the Father. He says that in verse 9. Believing in Jesus equals believing in the Father. He says that in 10 and 11. And listening to Jesus' words is listening to the Father's words. Verse 10. Do I need to repeat that? I mean, this is radical in most of our thinking, especially in today's world, that knowing Jesus is knowing the Father. And seeing Jesus is seeing the Father. And believing in Jesus is believing in the Father. And listening to Jesus' words is listening to the Father. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says it this way. He, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In Colossians 2, 9, he says this. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And Jesus said it this way in John 12, 45. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. Pretty amazing words. Jesus is the visible expression of the invisible God. And then he gives some concluding promises, verse 12 through 14. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Let me just stop there. Really? Yes, really. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So here's some concluding promises here. Those who have faith in Jesus will do what he did. Secondly, those who have faith in Jesus can ask Jesus to intercede on their behalf, and he says he will. And thirdly, Jesus says he will bring glory to the Father by answering prayers to him. Again, pretty amazing words. So what are we saying this morning? First, Jesus listens to the prayers of those who have faith in him. Secondly, if you want to see and understand or hear the Father, just look at Jesus. And third, Jesus has prepared a place for us in heaven. His death on the cross and his resurrection have broken the bonds and the chains of death. As John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then fourth, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. As the old gospel hymn says, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. He is so awesome. He's so incredible, but we have to come to him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us in Jesus, that you sent him to us that we might be able to come to you. I pray for each person here that they might have the ability to come to you in faith, to know you as you have revealed yourself in your Son, Jesus Christ. For anyone here who's struggling with that, I pray you'd meet them in that need and pour out your Spirit upon them and reveal yourself to them in the power of the Spirit. And this is our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.